Pharisee, I preach the gospel. I follow the apostles, you follow Pentecostals. You're not reformed, so that's a risk. I believe the 5 points like an asterisk. I repent, but you're in sin still. I spit rhymes and Fernando does a windmill.
Here we go, and welcome to another episode of SolarCast. It's your boy, Pastor Chris Hernandez, and my man, Jimmy De Los Santos. Yo, yo, what's up, Jimmy?
Pastor, there you go, doing it again, man. Yo, yo.
I kind of liked it last week, man, so I went back to it.
It's all right, man. I mean, it's not something I would say. You know, we were talking about that yesterday after church when we went out to eat, because we were talking about the different kind of music that we came up with. You were talking about the Tejano music that you grew up with. Like people see your library as kind of the rap kind of thing, but you really have more of a Tejano thing that you grew up with.
Yeah, yeah. I tell people, you know, people always think, you know, the soundtrack to my youth is hip hop. You know, and it kind of is in a way, but if you really knew me, the soundtrack to my youth is Tejano music and what's called Latin hip hop freestyle. And a lot of people out there probably don't know what that is.
Yeah, the way it was going in that conversation around the table, I even wanted to ask, hey, did you ever breakdance, Pastor Chris?
No, see, yeah, that was before my time. I was a little bit too young, but that was right in your wheelhouse, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, that kind of showed my age when I asked that question because I was in the era of breakdancing and parachute pants, but I didn't do any of that stuff. I didn't own a pair of parachute pants. I had a brother who, man, he was bugging my mom left and right. I think she got him a pair of parachute pants, but I really wasn't one to one.
Did he breakdance?
I think he tried. But I can't remember those, man. So I never tried to do any of that stuff, man. Breakdancing just didn't seem like something I could possibly master. But yeah.
I was a kid at the time when that was real big, and I always looked up to those dudes. I really wanted to do it, but you know, by the time I became a teenager, it was kind of already out, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to break dance it anymore.
It's funny how there are fads that stick and fads that don't. So that's a little segue into what we're going to talk about tonight, because Halloween is something that stuck, right?
Yeah, so last week we kind of teased this, right? We teased that this week we're going to be dropping a special, I don't know if it's so special, but a Halloween episode. We're going to be talking about Halloween. So you just jump right into it. Let's just jump right into it, right? This is what we're going to be talking about this week. This is what the subject matter is. We're going to talk about the Christian and Halloween. You know, it's Halloween week, right? We're a couple of days before October 31st here. When this drops, it'd actually be 2 days before Halloween. So, you know, Halloween's a big deal in this country. People celebrate it. People make a big deal about it. People decorate their houses. People go to parties and, you know, have good times with their kids and so forth. So yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So we wanted to talk about it because I think the Christian has always had a strange relationship with this holiday, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a touchy subject for some people, right? When you go into Christian circles and start talking about this type of thing, some people get up in arms about it. You know, it's very touchy. And you know what? It's like that almost every holiday. Like every holiday, people examine way, way deep into the roots of you know, Christmas, the roots of Easter, the roots of, you know, what is this, where did this holiday come from? And, you know, Halloween being the second most commercial holiday this country celebrates, did you know that, Pastor Chris? $6 billion a year we spent on Halloween.
Yeah.
It only comes second to Christmas. And so it is the second most celebrated holiday that we have in this. And we didn't call it a holiday. We don't get a day off or anything like that, but everybody, you know, kind of celebrates the day, right? And, you know, holiday, when you think about it, it's broken down to the word holy day, right? And so when people call it a holiday, it's kind of opposite of that. It's not really truly a holy day.
Yeah, we want to talk about that, right? Because, like I said, you know, Christians have had a weird relationship with Halloween, and I think you bring a good point. I mean, yeah, we've had a real relationship or a weird relationship with some other holidays too. I mean, we had a Christmas episode. We had to talk about that, right? We had to talk about the issues going around with Christmas and so forth. So, but this time we're gonna, you know, talk about Halloween, and I don't, you know, usually we like to give definitions. I don't think we need one this time. Everybody knows what Halloween is, but what we did want to do is we wanted to go to a little history of Halloween, right? So you had some stuff on it.
Yeah, yeah. So I did some, you know, digging and trying to find out, you know, where did the idea of Halloween come from? And it turns out that they think, and not everybody's completely sure because it's morphed over time, but it began as something called Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N. I spelled it out because it's spelled one way, but pronounced a different way. Samhain is the way it's supposed to be said, and it was a Celtic holiday. And so in the area that's now known as Ireland, the Celts lived there. And about 2,000 years ago, they had a tradition there in France and Spain and those areas close to Ireland. They started their New Year's on November 1st. And so they saw that the end of the year being the end of summer and the beginning of when everything dies, the fall, you know, the leaves fall, everything turns brown. They looked at that as the, you know, the death. And then at springtime, everything comes back to life. So there's a harvest thing, and then there's the end. So now the Celts believed on that night, the night before their New Year's, that there was a kind of a bridge that opened, something that allowed the dead maybe to come back, right? And so this is it. We even see that tradition in the Mexican circles, right? So we know we have a thing in the Mexican circles called the Day of the Dead, right?
Día de los Muertos.
Día de los Muertos, right? And it's kind of the same thing that they had there. They believed that there was a bridge that was open on that particular day. And so they would do things to kind of celebrate that. They also believed because that boundary was open on that night, the Druids, which were their priests, the Celtic priests, had an opportunity to be able to prophesy about the coming year. And it was always a comforting prophecy that the winter was going to be okay and that they would survive. And so it was a comforting kind of thing that they used. But, of course, you think about that. That opens up the area of, you know, sorcery and looking into the future, prophesying over and predicting and those types of things, which we know in Christian, you know, we know from the Bible that that's something that's not, it's frowned upon, right? We look at it's actually forbidden. You know, you look at the Old Testament. We'll get to some of those verses here in a little while. But it began to change. Pope Boniface IV, he dedicated a day on November 1st, to calling that All Saints Day. Now, I get what they were trying. They're trying to make it a more religious thing because by this time, by the 9th century, by the year 1000, Christianity had kind of spread into Ireland. And so now you've got a mingling of these things. And All Saints Day, All Souls Day became November 2nd. And so these things were looked at from a religious aspect. Maybe the Pope had something to do with that, trying to make it into something that it wasn't. Eventually, the night before All Saints Day began to be called All Hallows Eve.
Right.
Or the way they say All Hallow Mass. And so that's Middle English, but it really went into All Hallows Eve. So the Eve before All Saints Day, and eventually it became Halloween. So the traditions that we have though today of trick or treating and those types of things, it started out as people just, you know, community gatherings and people going door to door asking for food and things like that. And eventually it morphed into, you know, kids asking for candy to keep the tricks. Now that's a small kind of way of looking at it. The way it kind of reached America is really because in America, the reason that the settlers came over here was to get away from religious persecution and to be able to, so they were very pious in the colonies.
Right.
They were, you know, so it was a little bit, they weren't doing the Halloween thing, but then in the late 19th century, the late 1800s, there was an Irish potato famine. And so a lot of Irish people came this way, immigrated to America, and they brought with them old traditions.
Right.
And so Halloween began here. And so that's kind of where it came from. There's more I could say. There's a lot of history there, but that is basically it. There's a, you know, the Day of the Dead, you know, the boundary being opened up, sorcery, prophecies. So when people say it has its roots in paganism, I wouldn't argue with that. I wouldn't sit here and say it doesn't. I mean, it's pretty apparent that it does.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't make the argument that, no, you can't say it wasn't pagan. It has its roots in some sorcery and some, you know, kind of wrong thinking.
Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious, man. If you look at the history of Halloween, just like you ran down, it does have, you know, the elements of paganism And the interesting thing there too, though, is how, like you said, the Catholic Church kind of incorporated the All Saints Day with it and then kind of got mingled there. And it's funny because you see that today too. I mean, you look at a lot of the Latin American countries, there's a lot of Catholicism mixed in with paganism. It somehow it works out there, you know?
Yeah.
And that, I guess that's the reason why. It has history there where it kind of goes together. So,
That's a funny thing to me too, though, because if you look here in America, and I don't think it's to the same degree that maybe Catholicism does it, but you see a lot of what they do, trunk or treats now at churches, or harvest or fall celebrations, harvest celebration, things like that. At churches, they're trying to do more of a community thing as opposed to, you know, doing the trick or treating. But I think that's more of an attempt to bring it into religious or Christian circles and not disappoint the kids by telling them they can't go trick-or-treating or something like that.
Right. So, you know, Jimmy, you just ran down the history of it. And again, we're going to admit that it does have history in paganism and so forth. But most people that celebrate Halloween today don't really know any of that, right?
Right.
Most people that celebrate Halloween today, to them, it's just a day where you kind of dress up, you have a party, especially for kids that like dressing up in different costumes, their favorite superhero or their favorite Disney character. They like going to either a party or going trick-or-treating and getting candy. I mean, hey, I got 5 kids. I know Halloween's about candy, man. That's what that day's about. And it's about candy for them and candy for the parents too. You know, that's one thing I like about it. But they don't see the roots, the pagan roots or anything like that. To them, it's just, you know, it's just a day to kind of have fun. So in saying that, this is kind of what we want to really lay out. Like, what is, you know, the Christian's response to this, right? Since we know that it does have roots in paganism, you know, should we get involved at all? Or should we just completely stay away, right? That's what we kind of want to lay out. And I just wanted to share, you know, I think to me anyway, the Christian has 3 options. One option is total abstinence, right? Just don't do anything. Don't even acknowledge it. And this is, I think we were going to kind of touch on this. This is kind of some of the stuff me and you heard growing up, right? Halloween's bad. It's the devil's birthday. You know, it's all kinds of evil, right? So stay away from it. Don't even acknowledge it and so forth. So that's one option. If you're a believer, you can completely abstain. You can completely just overlook it. It's just like any other day. Another option would be to completely indulge in it, right? Just to do whatever the culture does. Don't abstain at all. You know, dress up your kids, take them trick-or-treating, dress up your house, you know, and just go all in. And I think the third option, and you kind of touched on this, is to kind of try to redeem the holiday, since it is a time where people are going out, since it is a time where people are taking their kids to various places. Well, why not have them bring the kids to church, right? Let's put on something like a trunk or treat. Let's put on something like a fall festival. We can have the kids come out to the church in a safe environment and give them candy and also, you know, share the gospel with them, right? So those are kind of the 3 options that Christians have, to me anyway.
Yeah, I think so. Here's the question. We're going to get personal about this. Do we even celebrate Halloween, me and you, on a personal level? I haven't in the past. I have prepared every year to give out candy and tracts as a means of sharing the gospel. But no, up until this year, I haven't had a home or a house. I've had an apartment. And so I've been living in apartments for a long time, and nobody ever comes to an apartment and knocks on the door. So my intent has always been to give out tracts on Halloween if they would come to my door. And I've been prepared for that. It's never happened. This year, I suspect it's going to happen. My 4th option that I would say is to evangelize. It's an opportunity for, I believe.
I would think that would go, I mean, that's redeeming it, right? That's trying to redeem it. Yeah. It's like that third option. Yeah.
Yeah. That third option.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it in my home, right? I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to have some tracts ready. I'm going to have some candy ready. They knock on my door. I'm going to give them a tract. If they want to have a conversation about what that tract says, then I would be more than glad to have that conversation with them at my front door. And I think that's one way that we could view it. It's interesting, and I'll tell you personally this little story. I grew up, like you said, in a church, in a family that was like, it's the devil's birthday. You stay away from Halloween. We don't even, you know, we keep the light off. We don't celebrate that. We don't even look at that. That's evil, evil, evil. And when I became a Christian, after I became a Christian, for a little while, I lived with my mom and her new husband. After my dad passed away, my mom married another preacher. And I've said that before. He was my mentor, right? We've talked about Brother Bert Ramirez before. He was the guy that taught me a lot early on. And one day, I get home, Halloween, I get home from work, and he's decorating for Halloween. Now, I've never decorated my house. I don't think I'd go as far as decorating my house for Halloween. But he was decorating. And I looked and I said to him, of course, this was early on in my Christianity. The legalism was strong with me. So I looked at him and I said,
you said that like the force was strong with you. The legalism was strong with this one.
Well, I looked at him and I said, what are you doing? You can't be, decorating for Halloween. This is an evil holiday. You can't get involved in that. And he's a wiser old man. He looked at me and he said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. He said, pretty soon some kid's going to knock on the door here. I'm going to open up the door. He's going to say, trick or treat. I'm going to put a piece of candy in his basket or his bag or whatever he's got. Now tell me, what is evil? And it kind of struck me because I'm thinking, okay, he looked at it from a different perspective.
Right.
And I thought to myself, no, kids are getting candy. And what if they're dressed up like a doctor, Spider-Man, something like that? Here's the thing I think. We can't allow our convictions about this holiday to cause division in the body of Christ.
Right.
Nor can we use our freedom to cause others to stumble in their faith. I think we're supposed to do all things as to the Lord. And so we need to view it with the right perspective. My thought is, what is my intent when I am thinking about celebrating Halloween? Am I intending to glorify God in all that I do? Do we glorify God by celebrating Halloween is a good question to ask. Well, it depends on how you do it, right? Depends on the way you look at it, the way you handle it. And so for me, that story that I just told you was a big deal in kind of changing my perspectives on some of these things. There might be some pushback on what I just said. Some people just really angry about the fact that you would even think about celebrating Halloween. and so I would say to them, redeem it. That would be my thing. Redeem the time. This is what we're here to do, right? And so that's kind of my perspective, my thought on it.
Yeah. So I think I kind of land in between, and you say you made some people mad. I'm probably going to make some people even madder. I would kind of land maybe in between that second and third option, where that second option where I said, just another day, just go ahead and do what other traditions are doing, just go along with it and try to redeem it. So I think I would fall in between those, because I will say that, I do allow my kids to, nothing evil, but they want to, especially by guy girls, that this is their time to put on that prince's outfit. This is that one time a year to put on that prince's outfit. And my boys are getting a little older. They think it's kind of lame to dress up now. So they don't really do that. But definitely my girls do. They think it's a big deal. Elsa, Anna, the whole thing, right? They want to dress up. So, we allow them to dress up, and we'll take them somewhere like this year, we're planning to take them to they go to a private school, Christian school. So they're having a fall festival. So we'll take them there, somewhere safe. I wouldn't totally be opposed to taking them. I think I took them 1 year, to trick or treating, and just to get them, let them get that experience. And like you said, man, giving a kid a piece of candy, there's nothing evil in that. I don't see anything evil in that. And I think the pushback there is that, oh, well, again, it has roots in paganism. Well, you know what? So does Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, right? Those days have roots in paganism, but you don't call Sunday a different name. We call it Sunday. We call it Monday. So, I think we're going to go down that trail. We're going to find a lot of things that we do has some type of roots in paganism, but that's not what we think about, today. But I do think it's a great opportunity to try to redeem it. Again, I think there's a lot of people that are open to going out to different places, taking their kids to somewhere safe. So I think this is a great opportunity for churches to do things to evangelize. And I like your idea. I've heard that a lot. People just stay home and give out candy and put a track in there, you know, and hey, if the Lord leads, you know, the Spirit leads to open up a conversation and evangelizes someone, then, you know, praise God. I think that's a good thing. But yeah, I can say I would probably fall in that second and third one. Growing up, you know, it was kind of weird, man. Halloween was always a weird holiday because I think I mentioned this before, man, my church was more legalistic than my parents. You know, the church that I went to was very legalistic. So yeah, it was the devil's birthday. But again, my parents, you know, they didn't grow up in the church. They didn't come from a Christian home. So they're trying to figure it out themselves, you know. So they kind of, you know, were a little looser on some of that stuff. I don't remember going trick-or-treating maybe but a couple of times. But I do know that at my church, I heard this was like the devil's day, but really not at home as much. I know, of course, my parents didn't, you know, outright celebrate the devil or anything like that. But they didn't really bring the hammer when it comes to Halloween.
You know, and that's something, think about that for just a second, what you just said, because I remember feeling like, why can't I? Why can't I go get some candy? You know, why can't I go with all the other kids to go trick-or-treating? My parents did let up when we got a little bit older. But when we were younger, we were forbidden from going out there and gathering up some candy and going door-to-door. And so it was one of those things. I think they started to feel a little bit bad about how they were, you know, how we felt as kids being excluded from this holiday. And I don't know if that, you know, some people listening think, well, that's not a good reason to go and celebrate something that I believe is evil. Now, if that's your conviction, right, hold to your conviction and you know, keep your family safe from what you believe might be harmful to them. I wouldn't want to put a stumbling block in front of somebody in their conviction that this is an evil or sinister holiday. They don't want to celebrate it. Hey, you have that right. Don't indulge. You know, stay away. You know, just turn your lights off and act like you're not home. If that's the case. But, you know, from my perspective, I remember as a kid feeling left out. And so I'm sure that some, you know, some people listening will think, yeah, my kids, they can feel left out. They can feel like that because we're always going to be, as Christians, left out of some things.
Right.
You know, and there are places, you know, we're not invited to, right?
Yeah.
There are parties people have that say, oh, I'm not inviting that goody goody Christian Jimmy De Los Santos. I'm not inviting that guy. He'll be the ruin of my party. And so
party, you know, crasher.
Well, you know, you start talking theological, man, at a party, and people are like, man, don't bring that here. We're trying to have a good time. And so I, you know, there's a time and a place though. He that wins souls is wise. And so I actually think they have the wrong idea of us. I'm willing to go to places, you know, happy hour with some coworkers and stuff like that. It doesn't have to be that way, but they'll, you know, people will pigeonhole you because you're a Christian and you're an outspoken Christian. And they'll say to you, whether they just want to invite you, you know, and that's kind of the way it is. So if somebody for Halloween feels like, yeah, my kids don't need to be involved in that, well, know that that's the Christian life altogether. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to add, I mean, you know, you said some people might feel that they just don't want to go there. And yeah, I completely agree. You know, if that's not you, you know, don't let others, you know, become a stumbling block for you. And I do think there is some danger, you know, in getting involved too much in something that's has the appearance of evil. You know,
yeah.
Let me just read this verse here from the 3 John 1:11, where it says, "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God." And I think, you know, as a Christian, we got to walk in wisdom in this area. You know, we don't want to, again, portray an appearance of evil or have an appearance of evil. And I think maybe, you know, some people can, again, I've said this before, take too much liberty in their liberty taking as Christians. Yeah. And, you know, go a little bit too far and, you know, portray evil and even glorify evil. We don't want to do that. You know, we don't want to glorify anything that is evil. We don't want to glorify anything that is not good. What we do want to glorify is the goodness of God, right? So we want to glorify God in all things. And even in this day, even in this holiday, we want to glorify God. It doesn't mean because, oh, it's a fun holiday, we take this day off from glorifying God. No, there's no days off from giving God glory.
Amen,
even on October 31st, we give him glory. Exactly. So I do think that we got to be careful. We have to use wisdom if you are going to be a Christian and a believer participating in some way or some form in this American holiday.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's important to know the difference between a costume that is, you know, Spider-Man versus one that is a demon. There's a spiritual aspect to everything that we do. And so we're not ignorant of the fact that there's spiritual forces out there. In fact, when you look at Ephesians chapter 6, what does it tell us? In verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." So we're not ignorant to the fact that there's evil out there. Some of these things that you were just saying, we mentioned, yeah, there can be a danger there that we need to be aware of. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant because the enemy is out there prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And this would be a perfect time, you know, to get into that because, again, it has roots in some spiritual, you know, prophecy, sorcery, witchcraft, looking at, you know, some certain things coming up. So those kind of aspects, I mean, I would draw a line at anybody that pulled out a Ouija board or something like that, you know, right. At a party, I'd say, I'm not going to be involved in that. I'm not going to try to look to the spirits and try to talk to the dead to find out what the future is. I serve the God of the living.
Right.
Right. And so when I look at, you know, 1 John 1:5, where it said, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all."
Right.
And so there can be some very dark aspects to Halloween. I mean, think of this. And I just, you know, would say this, what comes with Halloween along with it? I mean, you know, we look at the fact that it's trick or treat, but there's also a celebration of scary movies.
Right.
Right. And so it's become a tradition, right? Every year around Halloween time, you start to see all the horror movies that are coming out. And some of those can be, I'm not saying all of them, but some of them can be very dark and very sinister and, you know, can lead to wrong thinking by some people. And there are Christians out there that are not strong enough or mature enough to be able to handle some of those movies. And so indulging in something like that might be a problem for them, a stumbling block.
Yeah. And just to add to that lightness there, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, "You are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness," right? So as people of God, we got to understand that we don't belong there. We don't need to be associated with anything that resembles evil, that glorifies evil. Because, you know, when we look at it, a lot of things around Halloween glorify death, right? And again, like you said, we don't glorify death. We glorify life. We glorify the new life that we have in Christ, right? And the enemy is the one that glorifies death. You know, he is the one that was defeated by Christ on the cross. As the scripture says, he defeated hell, death, and the grave. And we don't need to be, you know, on that side. We're not on that side anymore. We're on the side of life. We're on the side of the light. We're not on the side of the darkness. So, yeah, and saying that, we do have to just use a lot of wisdom and be careful because, again, I think going back to what you had mentioned before, we don't want to cause other people to stumble. You know, if someone, let's say we are as believers, you know, we're mature enough to kind of handle this. Okay, that's fine. But maybe someone isn't, right? Maybe someone isn't mature enough to handle this. And maybe your liberty can cause them to stumble. So you have to use wisdom, as scripture says. If it's going to offend my brother that I eat this meat, I'm not going to eat this meat, right? So, and again, you know, if that's you and you're on the other side of the whole thing, and if you want to abstain and you say, you know, this is just not me, we don't need to press that person, that believer. We don't need to say, you know, loosen up or anything like that. That's where his conscience is, and he doesn't want to violate that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, there's another aspect. In these last two episodes in this episode, these three episodes, there's one string that goes through all three of, you know, either conspiracy theories, the superstitions, and now this discussion on Halloween. There's one thing that we know that there's a common factor in all these, and that's fear.
Right.
Right. Fear is a string that goes through all three of those things. When you think about conspiracy theories, there's fear behind that. When you think about superstitions, there's fear behind that. When you think about Halloween, it's pushing fear onto people, you know, the goblins, demons, ghosts, and things like that. But we weren't given a spirit of fear. And so this is one of those things that I think we need to be careful with, is pushing fear onto our children or onto people. Because, you know, I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God is always telling us, hey, don't fear. I'm with you. And so, you know, pushing fear, it seems tantamount to the opposite of what God wants us to do, and that's to walk in newness of life, to be bold, to be courageous, and not to fear. And so to push a fear factor on people, that seems counterintuitive to what the Christian thought should be. Our thoughts should be on things above, not on things beneath. And so my thought is that I'm gonna spend a Thursday night, I'm going to spend that night handing out candy and tracts. I got an idea in mind, and that is to redeem the time by sharing the gospel with people. And that's always been my thing. I'm an evangelist at heart, and that's what I want to do. I want to celebrate that God's goodness to me on, you know, what some people would call Reformation Day. And so, yeah. See, that's another thing people would get up in arms about, because they think that, you know, here's Reformation Day, we really should be celebrating that instead of the other, right? But I think both can happen.
Yeah, and that's I'm glad you mentioned Reformation Day, because, you know, on October 31st, that is the day that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church door of Wittenberg. And, you know, that's something I try to teach my kids about. You know, I kind of want to get it in their mind that October 31st is about that day. You know, yeah, it's a day that everyone else celebrates Halloween, and we dress up, and, you know, we get candy. But I kind of want them to see that as the bigger picture, you know, and hope I'm getting there. And I think I have, because I do mention it sometimes, like, what is October 31st? And they come back with, it's Reformation Day. I don't know if they're just saying that to get free candy or something or what, but they say that. So, but yeah, you know, I just want to bring out another verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. It says, so then about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in this world, and that there is no God but one. The reason I want to bring that verse up is because, you know, so many people, and this is going back to those who you know, want to abstain or want to criticize others for, you know, even, you know, dressing up their kids and giving them candy. And they'll say, yeah, it's a pagan holiday. You know, we should, you know, completely just run from it and so forth. And if you do, then they're going to judge you for it. Right. So what we want to say is that, you know what, it's just a day. It's nothing. There is no other God but one God, as this scripture says here. This is the God that we worship. You want to say, oh, you're worshiping other gods. No, there's only one God. And there's only October 31st is just another day that was created by God, right? Every day was created by God. This is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what it is. What is October 31st? It's this year, it's Thursday, a day created by God. There's nothing sacred about the day. It is just a day that was created by God. So I just wanted to throw that, insert that scripture in for those that want to judge the brothers that do, you know, want to express their liberty a little bit. It's just a day. It's just a day that people are celebrating with fellow Americans, or I don't even know if celebrating is the right word, but, you know, getting involved in the tradition, in American tradition of, you know, taking kids for candy and so forth. So we got to be careful both ways. You don't want to become a stumbling block on one hand, and you also don't want to be judgmental on the other. Let everyone, you know, be bound to their own conscience. Let everybody be led by the Spirit and what they're going to do.
Yeah. Before we close up, there's one more aspect that I wanted to throw out there. This is mainly for adults. Halloween, you know, for adults has morphed into something also that you can look at. You got to be careful with as Christians, and that's a sexual aspect, right? Costumes nowadays, you know, mainly for women or have become more something to show off, something to revealing, as opposed to being, you know, clothed. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
I actually was driving around the other night on Saturday night in downtown Dallas, and there were several places that, you know, I guess had costume parties going on, and a lot of the costumes that I saw out there were quite revealing, and so that's not something we're called to. So another thing that I would say is, so be careful with that. Watch out what you put before your eyes. It's important, right, to guard yourself, to guard your eyes. I remember an old song when I was a kid, be careful little eyes what you see, right? And so it's important for the Christian to guard themselves against some of these other aspects, because the enemy is, again, crafty, and he has snuck something in there for adults when it comes to Halloween. I know we talked a lot about the kids, but I felt like that had to be said, because, yeah, we need to be careful as adults that maybe, you know, maybe you're listening to this and you don't have any kids. Maybe you're listening to this and you're a single person that says, well, I'm going to go out with my friends and go celebrate Halloween or go hang out with my friends at someplace here or there. Be careful. That's all I would say about that. Be careful with something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, just use common sense wisdom from 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So can you picture, you know, whatever you're going to get involved with on October 31st, can you picture that giving glory to God? You know, if you're wearing skimpy outfits, I mean, come on, you know, you know better than that. I mean, if you're getting involved in celebrating death, you know better than that, right? If it's family time, if you're, you know, you're having a great time with your kids, and if you're eating candy and enjoying, you know, good things from the Lord, then hey, yeah, give glory to God. I mean, it's just common sense wisdom that you can use there is what you're getting involved with on this day, giving God glory. And I think we'll find that a lot of stuff that we can get involved with absolutely doesn't give him glory.
Yeah. I think that's the most important question is what I'm doing when I go celebrate Halloween. Is it giving glory to God? Right? Because in all that we do, we are to give glory to God. And so that's that. That should be the Christian view. And hopefully, you know, people out there listening are, you know, taking that. Instead of, you know, their view is the right view. And if you don't think like they do, you're not even reformed.
Oh, no. That's a combo for another day.
We've heard that before, though, right?
Right, right.
It can just be something else. Anyway, that's about all I have. Hey, what do we got going on next week, man? What are we talking about next week? We already know, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the music world and the Christian world kind of collided, right? Last week, things exploded onto the scene. Big news with Kanye West conversion and so forth. But yeah, we're going to be talking about it, man. You know, everybody else is talking about it. Why don't we talk about it, right? We're going to be talking about Christian celebrities and their conversions. So looking forward to it. So y'all tune in. Tell a friend.
Tell a friend.
All right. But yeah, if you got any questions, pushback, issues with this episode, you know, make sure you find us. Find us online. I have a feeling somebody's going to say something about this one. But anyway, find us online, www.thesolarcast.com. Or you can go to Facebook, just search Solarcast in the toolbar there, and you'll find Solarcast. You can also find us on Twitter at @Solar_cast. And you can find Jimmy at
Los Jimmy.
And I'm at C. Hernandez 214. Also, if you want to support the ministry that we're doing out in West Dallas, you can go to solarcast.com/Patreon. There you can be a giver and give monthly donations. And we would appreciate your support in helping us, you know, just evangelize and spread the gospel here in Dallas in a very rough part of town. But and if you're in the Dallas area, come and visit us. We're at 3232 Batan Street, Dallas, Texas, 75212. We're there every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. You can also find out more about the church by going to the website at www.ecclesiachurch.org, or you can search for us on Facebook as well. Just search in the toolbar Ecclesia Church of Dallas. But yeah, until next time.
Let's get to the meat.
Let's do it.
Okay. I just made this beat right now. I'm MC Goya. Okay, listen. I'm on the ground like El Chapo, in a tunnel, eating about 12 tacos. I'll put you in a box like a gato, punchlines stay in my mouth like Mr. Sacco. Jay thinks he runs Christian hip-hop, he wears white socks when he wears his flip-flops. And he looks like Shug Knight, I put him in a chokehold and say goodnight. It's not music but clothes that he started, I can find better shirts in a flea market. Okay, Google, who's the best rapper? Goya, rapping graces for